Amen. And you can be seated. We certainly are thrilled to have you here with us, and we want to invite you, if you're able to open up your Bibles to the book of Psalms, Psalms chapter 126. On the screens, if you can go to the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 21 and verse 4, we're opening up our Bibles to the book of Psalms, Psalms chapter 126. You probably saw out in the foyer, we have something called invite cards available for you. If you're looking for a neat way to invite someone to not only come to this church, but to perhaps ask them if they know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, then that is an easy way to do it. And we want to invite you to pick up some invite cards. I was telling first service, that our heart is really pure in that. I know a lot of places may do some of those things to try to elicit more people to come to their church. And I'll be honest, I am after people coming to this church, but not because I'm looking to make my name famous or to make this church famous or to boost membership or tithes and offerings. We're okay in all of those areas. We're abounding in all of those areas. The reason why we are after it is I honestly believe that what is going on here at Word of Life, not just with the teaching and preaching of the Word, but also through praise and worship, through healing school, through what's going on in our children's church, that life change has the potential to happen in this place. I honestly believe that. And there are people out there that need a touch from the Lord, and they need His quickening power to enable them to change the direction of their lives. And so just be led. If you feel like inviting someone to come to the church and the Lord prompts your heart to, then invite them to come. Or it could be just an avenue to not invite them to come to this church, but just to ask them if they know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. But either way, that's what we're after, adding people to the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. In the book of Numbers, chapter 21 and verse 4, it says, "And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul," that's very interesting, the mind, the will, the emotions, "of the people was much discouraged because of the way." We've been talking about what to do when you're discouraged. We use the children of Israel as an example of people who started out with a great big vision. I'd like to think we all start out that way in some point in life. Maybe it's after we graduate high school or enter into college or after college graduation or on a wedding day, or maybe just as a little child, we start out with a great big vision of what life could be like, the things we could do in life, the experiences we could have in life. And the children of Israel were no different. They were in Egyptian bondage, and that bondage, it stole vision out of their heart. They never saw things changing until a man named Moses came in and started preaching that God has something better in store for you. A land flowing with milk and honey. And as he's preaching, that vision is getting sown in their heart. Sure enough, the Lord turns their captivity. They see a great victory with Pharaoh. The Lord leads them out of Egyptian bondage. And here they are in the wilderness on the way to the promised land with a great big vision of what life could be like. But then things don't go the way that they thought they would go, and they become discouraged. They lose their passion for the journey. And we said that when this happens, it's normally because of one of two reasons. We've been covering the first reason these past two Sundays. I want to cover the second one today. We said that the first reason is people, when they become discouraged, a lot of times the reason why they're not passionate about the journey that they're on right now is because they're trying to pull an old season into a new one. They're trying to make their life look like it used to look. And God is saying that season is over. It's a new season. It's a new day. There's new miracles I want to perform. And in order for you to grab hold of those, you've got to let go of the old. But friend, what was happening to the children of Israel here in Numbers chapter 21 and verse 4 was not that. They didn't need to let go of the dream that they had. God had a dream that God had given them of a promised land, of a better life, a greater future for them and their children's children. They didn't need to let go of it. What they needed was to hold on to it. What the enemy was doing in their life at that moment was he was doing so often what he does to all of us. He throws up resistance to try to stop and hinder the plan of God. He was throwing up situations in their life, in their journey, trying to discourage them in the way. And it did, friend. It discouraged their heart. And when their heart became discouraged, they lost their dream. They lost their joy. Whereas before they're singing and dancing over the Lord's great victory that he wrought for them, now they're doing nothing but complaining. Whereas before they were once so thrilled about what God was doing, now they don't even want to continue in the journey. They don't even see the point of it anymore. Whereas once they were so excited about their future, now they're not even thinking about it. They're only thinking about their past. That's a dangerous place to be in, friend. It's a dangerous place to live a life without a dream, to wake up in the morning without something pulsating in your heart of what life could be like, a dream that God has implanted upon you. We say it so often, but it's true, friend. God is a God of dreams and visions. He's a God who wants to show you things to come so you can set your faith on them. Where there is no vision, there can be no faith. Vision is the sight of faith. It sees life not as it is, but as it could be. And faith brings that vision into reality. It's a dangerous place to have no dream. About a year ago, in a couple of months, I was in a camp meeting being done at the Bible school I went to. And they had a minister get up and speak, and he was speaking, but he went on a little rabbit trail, and sometimes those rabbit trails are some of the best things. A rabbit trail is when the preacher says, you know, this is not my message, but I feel like I should go this way. And they go off that way for a minute, then come back to their notes or something like that. And his rabbit trail led him to Psalms chapter 126. And when he got there, he preached out of it for about 5 minutes. And then after that, he let it go and went back to his message. But the whole time he was preaching on it, on Psalms chapter 126, oh, life was just coming to the people in the congregation. You could feel it. Just sitting in there. Let's read what it says. Psalms chapter 126. It says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then our mouths were filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. Notice when it was that the Lord turned their captivity. The Lord turned their captivity when they had a dream. When they had a dream in their heart, a song in their mouth, and laughter and joy in their homes. See, the two go hand in hand. You can't have vision without having anticipation. When vision, when a dream is in your heart, there's an excitement of what comes along with it. You know, I'm a big sports fan. And you can see these teams. I was watching some of the Final Four last night. As the game begins, every player's got a vision of victory. And the game hadn't been played yet, but they believe in their heart they can win. And they're excited and they're jumping and they're elated about the opportunity. But then at the end of that Kentucky-Louisville game, you could just see with about 5 seconds left, Louisville's vision of victory just vanished away. They weren't even attempting to try to make the last couple of shots because they knew it was a hopeless deal. Why? They had no vision. And when vision is gone, when the dream is gone, you can know it, friend. How do you know it? There's no laughter in your home anymore. There's no song in your heart. There's no anticipation of what life could be like. Whereas when you have a vision and you have a dream of what life could be, it is the complete opposite. Kentucky's players, full of life, so excited, throwing a ball in the air. Why? They know they're going to the next level. They know they're reaching towards the championship. The reason why a dream is so important is because we see here that when they were coming out of captivity, they were a possessor of a dream. They were a possessor of joy. They were a possessor of a song in their heart, which tells me that when I'm going into captivity, I won't have a dream in my heart. There won't be a song in my mouth. There won't be a laughter, a spirit of joy in my home. That is a surefire way to know whether or not I'm either going into captivity or I'm being held captive right now. Is when's the last time I dreamed of what life could be like? Have I settled for what I've experienced? See, a lot of people say, I don't believe this is good as it gets. If you ask them, yeah, I believe life could get better, but they never have taken the time to dream of it. And the Lord can't turn anything where there is no dream. He can't go to work where there is no vision. Friend, if you want to see your captivity turned, it starts with that dream. If you can get that dream back, that vision, that anticipation, that life is going to get better than this. True faith will arise from that, and joy and peace will fill and flood your life. I was talking to Susan Hardy. She's on staff here at Word of Life. She's over member care. Her job is to get to know the members and to help our church staff and our volunteers care for members who may need things, whether hospital visitations or appointments, things like that. And I was meeting with Susan on Thursday at around 10:30 or 11. And we were talking about how do you help people who are facing things that are completely tearing apart their life. It could be a sickness or disease that it's not just making them feel bad, but it could literally take their life. Or people who may be facing things relationally or financially that literally, if it happens in their life the way it looks like it's going to happen, it could change and alter the course of their life. How do you help people in that condition? And what we were talking about is you have to get them in faith. Faith is the tool that God has given us that moves things in life. It's a great leverage. When you're in faith, it means you have the opportunity to see the hand of God at work. And when God's hand is in something, there's nothing that cannot be changed. And so we were talking about how do you know if they're in faith? Because a lot of times people will believe that they're in faith, but it just doesn't seem like anything is moving, anything is changing. And so we were talking about how do you know when faith is there for people to walk in. I said, Susan, faith can always be identified through two ways. Number one, through words, you can hear faith. When Jesus heard the centurion's word, "Lord, there's no need for you to come into my house, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." When Jesus heard those words, he said, "Your faith is great." When he heard that, he heard faith. But not only can faith be heard, faith can also be seen. When Jesus saw the man born by four, when he saw that rooftop being ripped open and a man being let down, he not only saw those men, the Bible said he saw their faith. In the book of Acts, you see a mighty man of God preaching the gospel. And while he's preaching, he sees someone in the audience and perceives that they had faith to be healed. How did he know that they had faith to be healed? He saw faith. Faith can be seen in the eyes, friend. There's a spark of life when someone's in faith. There's an enthusiasm about their soul that can't be matched by anything in the world. There's a vitality that comes from that, a life that comes from that. When you are a possessor of faith, it means that the promises of God to you at that moment are more real to you than whatever you're facing in the natural. When you're a possessor of faith, it means you are exalting the word of God above anything you see with your eyes or anything you see or feel with any part of your being. You believe God more than you believe anything else. You're not walking by sight anymore. You're walking by what you believe. And so you're not moved by bad reports. You're not moved by anything that you see. You're only moved by what you believe. You can see that, friend. You can sense that. How? There's a vision behind it. And what I'm telling you today, friends, there are some people in this place, and what you need to do, you need to dream again. God put something on your heart. Maybe it was a month ago. Maybe it was a year ago. Maybe it was 10 years ago. God put something on your heart, a dream for a better life. Maybe it was for a different job, or maybe it was for a relationship to be restored. And you know that the dream was from God. That is not something you let go of. That is something you cling to and believe God for until you see it come to pass in your life. The children of Israel, when they were discouraged because of the way, they were not doing anything wrong. They were in the center of the will of God for their life. But because of what they were experiencing in life, they were letting the dream fade away. My question to the Lord was, how do you know which one to do? How do you know when it's time to let go of a dream and dream a new one? And how do you know when it's time to keep dreaming the dream that you had, even when it looks like it's not coming to pass? And the only thing I could think of is, you know. When my father passed away, I can remember he was a wonderful man of faith, and with that, he had preached the gospel for years, and so there were a lot of other ministers who were great men of faith as well. And during that time, there were several individuals who wanted to come, and they even asked me if I would go in and be with them while they prayed for him to see if God would revive life in his body. And as soon as they said it, I knew in my heart that it wasn't going to happen. That the season of life, that season of my life, it had changed. Everything in my flesh would have loved for it to happen. But in my heart, I knew it was over. Friend, as I went on to Rhema, like I said, that's the Bible school I went to. As I went on to there, God began breathing a new vision in my heart. My old vision was to go to college, start a business, and help my father financially in ministry. But As I began going to Bible school instead, God began to build a new vision in my heart. And I knew his vision for my life was for me to pastor this church, for me to build this new facility, and for me to carry on the vision that my father had started. I knew that that was his dream for my life. And while I was in Bible school, oh, that dream, it was bigger than it had ever been before. And towards the end of Bible school, I knew I was called to this church and knew I was to build this new facility and knew where God wanted to take this ministry. It was a dream that was so alive in my heart. And you can ask anyone there, I was excited about it, buddy. Just pumped up about it. You couldn't stop me from talking about it. But here I came, and I came back home to start out in ministry. I came back to this church, and I started preaching and teaching, and it seemed like everything that I was doing, it was not working. And I knew in my heart, doing the exact right thing. I was in faith, standing on the word. But it just seemed like attack after attack after attack was hitting my life, hitting the ministry. I wasn't doing anything wrong, but nothing I was doing was working. And you know what happened? I fell over into despair. And despair is when you're not dreaming anymore. You're not thinking about a better life. You're thinking about just making it. You're not dreaming of a better future of what could be. You're thinking, I just got to hold on to what I have right now. There's no dream. There was no passion. Definitely no song in my heart or laughter in my house. And what was happening? I was going into captivity. Like I said, I had made a list of ministers I could give the church to give up on the dream, to quit the vision. But in my heart, I knew this was God's vision for my life. That at that time, it was the complete opposite of experience of what I had with my father. When my father was there in that hospital room, everything in my flesh wanted that season of life to continue, but my heart knew it was over. But in this situation, everything in my flesh wanted to give up, back out, quit. But my heart knew this is a vision from God. This is not something you can quit. This is not something you can give up on. You need to fight for this. The only way I know how to explain it is the call of God, the will of God for your life. It's like a dog whistle. You know, if you have a dog, you can have a dog whistle and you blow it and no one else can hear it, but that dog can. The will of God for your life is like that a lot of times. You don't hear it with your natural ear. Other people may not even sense it, but in your heart, you know he's called you to something. You know he's called you to something more than you're living right now. It's like over in 1 Kings chapter 18. We don't have the time to go over there and look at it. But you can go there and look at it in your own at home in 1 Kings chapter 18. The prophet Elijah had given a prophecy that it wouldn't rain for over 3 years. And the land had been barren. And of course, that just was destroying the economy because their economy was being run off of agriculture. And when there is no rain, it just shuts business down. So the whole nation is experiencing a major recession. And he knows it's time for the rain to come back. But for 3.5 years, there's been no sign of rain, not even a cloud in the sky. No sign of any type of rain, of any type, of any kind. And here he is praying one day. And he tells his servant, he says, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. When he said that, there was nothing in the natural that he heard. The servant didn't hear anything. The servant didn't see anything. But Elijah, he had heard it in his heart. What he had heard was, it's time for this drought to be over. It's time for this season to come to an end and a new one to start over. It's time to see miracles. It's time to see abundance. It's time to see things turn around. He heard that in his heart. No one else heard it. No one else would believe it, but Elijah, he heard it in his heart. But here's what's interesting. When he heard that in his heart, he told his servant to go confirm what he heard in the natural. He said, go look and see if you see any sign of rain. The servant ran up to see if he could see any sign that this drought may be over. And he came back to Elijah, and Elijah asked him, what do you see? And the servant said, I see nothing. Oh, there have been times in my life where it's been like that. I'm in faith. I'm believing God. I hear things are about to turn around. Breakthroughs are about to be seen. But then you go up and you look in the natural and it looks like nothing is changing. Nothing is working. And when that happens, it makes you want to back down. It makes you want to just go in a different direction. But Elijah could not deny what he had heard in his heart. He had heard an abundance of rain in his heart. So he sent his servant again. And that's what you got to do. When you're in faith and you're not seeing results, that's not time to back down. That's the time to amp it up. He sent his servant again. And the second time the servant went up there looking to see if things in the natural would be different. He came back and told him, nothing has changed, Elijah. He sent him again a third time, nothing. Sent him again a fourth time, nothing. Fifth time, nothing. Sixth time, nothing. Oh, it would have been real easy for Elijah to say, you know what? I must have heard wrong. I thought I heard an abundance of rain. I thought this thing was about to turn around. I was so excited about it, and I thought it was God, but you know what? Maybe I missed it. There'll be times like that in your life. Maybe some of you are there right now, or you're believing God to see something turn around, and you've been waiting for things in the natural to line up to what you've heard and seen in your own heart. But it just seems as if nothing's changing. In fact, it looks like it's rather growing worse. Friend, I'm telling you, this is for you. Captivity is turned when dreams are kept. When the dream that you have in your heart is kept in your heart. And the dream that you have in your heart is a dream that you know God has given you. When you keep that dream safe, and you make a decision to not back off with your faith, but to keep acting on what you believe. Friend, I'm telling you, you will see miracles. You will see God's hand break through in this natural realm and begin changing things to the way you see it in your heart. Elijah, on that sixth time, nothing's changed, Elijah. For the sixth time he had heard it, he didn't give up. He said, go again one more time. He went that seventh time and he went up there and looked. And he looked around all in the distance and there was no great sign of rain. The skies weren't gray. He just saw a little white cloud out on the distance. Just a little one. Just a little cloud about the size of a man's hand. And he came back and told Elijah that. And friend, this is a mark of faith. Faith will rejoice even at just a little. When Elijah heard it was just a little cloud, he got up rejoicing and he said, you better get your stuff ready right now because it's about to pour down rain. He immediately began to release his faith even further at just a little. He kept his eyes on the harvest. He kept his eyes on the dream. He kept his heart fixed on what God had spoken to it. And friend, as that servant was packing up that chariot, all the clouds came in, filled up the sky, and it poured down rain that day. Friend, I'm telling you, the rain's about to pour. It's about to pour. All of heaven, I believe, is about to come down in this earth. That the darker it gets in the world, the brighter it's going to get for the church. That the world will be able to see and know that we are children of the Most High God. Friends, I believe that this is a time for miracles. But it's only going to happen for those who choose to get their dream back. To dream again. To hold it in their heart. And the way that you know you've got it is there's a song in your heart. There's laughter in your home. Because you're expecting the Lord to do some great and mighty things. I'll close with this story. I was reading a book this past week. And they were talking about this lady in this person's church who was feeling very sick, and she went into the doctor, and the doctor discovered that she had an artery that was being blocked and she needed major heart surgery. And so they took her in for surgery, and they were going to have to do a bypass. I'm not familiar entirely with the operation, but basically what I gathered from the book was they stopped the heart from beating. They shut down pretty much the main artery and draw all of that blood into a machine. And the machine basically takes the place of that heart. And when the operation is complete, they'll turn the machine off, let the blood go back into the heart. And once the heart feels the warmth of that blood, it'll start beating again. If it doesn't, they have different medicines that they can use to start the heart back up. And this lady was there in surgery. The operation went well, and it came time for them to let the heart turn back on to start beating again. And when they turned the machine off, the blood went back into the heart just like it should, but the heart didn't quicken. It didn't come back to life. So they tried one medicine, still wouldn't come back. Tried two, the second one, it wouldn't come back. Tried three, finally got all the way to the fourth one, and the heart still was not beating. The surgeon, in the midst of all of that panic, stuck his hands in and started to massage the heart to try to get it to come back to life, but nothing was working. Finally, he got down on his knees right at the patient's ear, and her name was Mary, and he said, "Mary, this is your doctor. I've done all I can do to get your heart to come back." He said, "What I need you to do right now is for you to tell your heart to beat again." He spoke that in her ears, stood up, walked back a couple of steps. And when he did, he heard the boom, 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 boom come across from the monitor. And friend, I'm telling you, God, in all of His power and might, He will do all that He can to get you into His best, to cause that dream to come to pass in your life. He will do all He can to keep that dream alive in you. That's what you need in order to see captivity turned. He'll do all that He can, but what He needs you to do is to tell your heart to dream again. For you, He can't do it for you. You have to make a decision to do it. For you to tell yourself, this is not as good as it gets. Maybe you're not in captivity. Maybe you think that you just had your greatest victory. Friend, I'm telling you, life gets better than even that. It's time to dream again. You got to keep that dream alive within you. Tell your heart it's time to dream again. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Oh, you've been a wonderful audience. Let me pray for you before you leave. Father, we thank you for these people who are here this morning. We thank you, Lord, that your favor and